Yes, there are concerns that there is less political enthusiasm about the court right now. And one of the reasons is quite obvious. The court is 10 years old, so a lot of countries who are in principle very committed, they just take the court for granted. They think it's an established institution, and this is what we always say in our 10th anniversary celebrations, it's an established institution. So a lot of countries do not realize how much political support still the court needs. And what we do, we work on daily basis. We work with individual states. We try to reach the highest echelons of power in state parties to explain exactly what the problem is. Because this is what I always get, you know, but what is your problem? And the problem is really that in terms of management support and technical support, I think states are doing quite well, reasonably well. But they are forgetting a little bit that we are really in the business of trying to bring perpetrators of atrocity crimes to justice. And it just so happens very often that these perpetrators of atrocity crimes are people who have held or are holding high positions. So by definition, political support is necessary because these issues, besides being legal, are also political.
Some have also expressed concern about financial challenges that the court currently faces. How are you encouraging member states? And how do you think this can be resolved to make the court more viable and financially stable so that there wouldn't be any political persuasion or undue advantage taken of the court because of the financial obligations that some countries will give?
The financial challenges that the court faces are not unique to the court. We are right now thinking about all these international institutions that we have put in place, not really thinking and suspecting that a crisis of this magnitude might hit us. Having said that, yes, the court is facing financial challenges, not least because its workload is increasing. And that is the problem. Ideally, the court should be just the court of last resort that is there, that serves as deterrent and that encourages states to do their domestic prosecutions. But it's mostly the failure of states themselves to prosecute that brings all these cases to the ICC. What we do, of course we talk to states. I think that there is a reasonable understanding right now about the budget that the court will have. It's also clear that at no point in time will the court have unlimited budget. It is going to be limited. That's the nature of international business, of international, so to say, organizations. But one thing is also clear, that the avenues that have been explored by other international organizations, like voluntary funds to allow the functioning of the institutions, that really is not an option because we're dealing with a criminal court. But what we do have, we have different little funds where voluntary contributions are accepted, for instance, to allow the compensation for victims, for instance, to allow even participation from less developed countries at the assembly meetings and so on. So there are voluntary funds, but the core activities, really the court activities, judicial activities, have to be funded by states parties, because otherwise we would just be seen as maybe being politically influenced.
Now, let's look at the cooperation between the court and specifically the African Union. You were there to meet leaders of the African Union. You held meetings with them. What is the cooperation level between the AU and the court?
Well, first of all, we have a treaty-based court. It's a treaty arrangement, and we have states parties. So the African Union is not a party to the statute. And there are 33 African states. Now, the officials of the African Union tell us that they are in the hands of their constituency, their states, and they do. And of course, you know, the decisions that are adopted by the African Union are the wish of African Union members. And we know that these memberships are not totally overlapping. We have 33 states, but the African Union is much bigger. And it is clear that there is an outstanding arrest warrant against one sitting head of state of the African Union. That is not going to go away, and inevitably it is creating some tension in our relations. But I think what we did agree upon is that there needs to be more discussion about different aspects of the court's work and different ways of interaction. There is a recognition that the ICC, in fact, is a very valuable instrument. There are all these bad feelings about this perceived exclusive Africa focus, which can be explained. And there is also this African willingness, in a way, to have judicial proceedings closer to home and to take matters in their own hands, which I fully understand. So on all these aspects, we have to keep in touch. We are working with our states' parties, which are 33 states' parties, and on national level, most of them are extremely supportive to us. But with the African Union, we need to have dialogue.